Hello, hello, people. It's Young Adult 2.0 year. I hope you guys missed us. We are back with a new episode full in English. I know my English people, I know you guys need to listen to whatever we're talking about. And today is your day. It's also a great opportunity for French to listen and learn more about English. As we are all bilingual, we hope you were seated. We are closing our session on immigration, and as promised, we have a precious guest in the house. Her name is Sandra. Well, welcome to her. Guys, please just note that we are live with the UK right now. Like I like to say, the Royals. Woo, Cynthia, 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 please, please, round of applause. Round of applause. God. I just like to say the Royals.
Okay.
It just sounds funny to me. Cynthia, are you excited to be live with the UK right now?
Yes, I'm really excited, mostly about the accent. I really want to hear the accent for like the next 30 minutes. I really like England accent. I don't know why, but
for me, it's really because I feel like the Young Adult family is really growing up, extending to the whole world. I really like that idea, you know, that we have friends all over the world.
Do you forget that we are international, babe? So everyone in the world needs to know us.
Yeah. So guys, just wish us good luck. We hope we can take this conversation to the next stage one day. We never know where we might get. And yeah, so we are with Sandra today. We will allow her to present herself. So Sandra, you can give us your name, your background, study, your nationality, country of residence, profession, whatever you like. You control whatever you say. You have the floor, my dear.
Oh, okay. So Sandra Lu, and background study LLB law, and then also did computer science when I came to the UK, and I'm Cameroonian. And I am currently working as a software tester in the UK.
Okay. Do you like being in the UK?
Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Little chat. How is the weather there right now?
Today it doesn't really seem bad. It's like, it's sunny, but a little bit cold, but it's far more better than it was.
Okay, so we've heard a lot of things about UK. We've not been there ourselves. So how did you immigrate to the UK, and for how long have you been there?
I think there's an issue with the connection. She left and she come back. So excuse us, guys. The internet is a little bit of a problem today. We're going to have a little time of pause and let Miss Sandra come back. She's back.
Yeah. You know what happened? I was just dropped off the call. I don't know what happened.
Okay, it's fine. We can go ahead. So, sorry about that, guys. We're just talking about the UK. How did you migrate to the UK? How long have you been there?
So, I actually came here as an EU family member to join my mom. And then I've been here for like 5 years now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so like that means you didn't have like to go through all... if I can say the struggles, like to get a visa, like it wasn't that difficult.
Actually, this is the funny thing, because I've been trying, and I think the first time it was a bit tricky because we did all the applications and then like evidence and everything. But the only thing that was lacking was, DNA result, DNA test and stuff. So they went through it and they're like, oh yeah, everything's like really convincing, but we're just not certain that that's your mom. So
okay.
Yeah, so so that's when my mom got another lawyer, and then the lawyer was like, oh yeah, we've got to do a DNA test. And I'm like, this is really ridiculous. But anyways, we did it, and then yeah, they gave me the visa, and that was it. So that's when I learned, like, oh yeah, if you're doing like the whole family member process, it seems you do have to do a DNA test.
Oh, that's really crazy. But my question is, like, we are young adults. I don't know about you, but Danielle and I, we are really young adults. And we've been struggling. Like, in the out of my country, I have been struggling about, like, lifestyle, job research. Not really job research, because we are, like, outside of our country, so there's opportunities and everything. But then again, it's still a struggle. Job research, like, relationships, financial opportunity, and all the stuff, like, we going through a lot being outside of our country. Like, how do you feel it is over there in UK? Can you tell more about it? Like, for you, when you got there, was it easy to have friends? Were you, like, did you have a relationship as far? Like, I don't know. Like, just tell me.
Okay. Okay, like, my experience, first of all, when I got here, because, like, I'm always kind of, like, ambition. I'm always with the what next mindset. So initially when I was coming here, I was like, yeah, I'll continue with law. And then I came, and there was a whole period where this, because I was waiting, they had to give me my biometric card before I could do anything, before I could apply for, like, my NI number, I think, which is similar to, like, is it social security number?
Social security number.
So I had to do all that before I could even apply for school and stuff. So already everyone was saying, like, oh, yeah, you came in through the best way, your mom's here and stuff, so, like, it won't take long for you to get all these things sorted. But I actually had to sit at home for, like, 8 months just waiting for my biometric card to come through. And
yeah,
that's something that people say it would normally take you like 2 months, 3 months, but I had, and during that period, like, the whole depression just started creeping in little by little, because then I'm just thinking, like, oh my god, I've already been here 8 months, I can't even do anything, like, what am I gonna do? And then, you know, like, working, like, the whole cash in hand kind of jobs here is kind of illegal, but then I was still like, I need to be doing something, I just can't be sitting on my ass and then not doing anything. And then I'm thinking to myself, I've just graduated, like, yeah, my parents have been paying for my school, and I'm here now, I shouldn't be getting anything from them, you know. So yeah, so it's like just trying to find a way to, like, get any sort of job whatsoever while I'm waiting for my car to come through. But then anyways, when it came through, and during that period as well, I was just like observing everything, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I could do, like, I could still continue with law here. But then the difference is, it's not like I want to go back to Cameroon and practice with it. I'll be here for a while for me to practice. And I'm like, the difference in culture, I don't know that many people here. Obviously, like, all those things, I think, like, they kind of, like, play a role in, like, you getting clients and all those kind of things, and again getting employment in the legal field. And you weren't even born here. I wasn't, I didn't come here when I was little and stuff. I don't even speak like you guys. I was like, nah, I need to think of something else, because because I was like, the last thing I want is for me to, like, pay all this money for school, all these years for school, and then have years again to sit back waiting for, like, looking for a job and stuff. I was like, nah. So then I got now to the second stage. What can I do now? And I was just thinking all sort of, like, profession, careers. I was thinking everything. Then I had, like, one of my friends in the UK, in the US, that he just spoke to me, and he was like, why don't you try software engineering? I was like, God, I have no IT background whatsoever. And then, you know how back home is just divided, either arts or science, no in between. And if you only did, like, the grammar side of studies, which is always referred to as arts, if you did that, then you, there's no way for you to switch to something else, something IT or science related whatsoever at some later point in life. But then I think, like, that's one of the positive things I'll say about here, because even if you had, like, a complete grammar background for a larger part of, like, life or all your educational years, you could still switch to any other field when you want to. And they've got, like, all those guides, everything, you've got the resources as well. And God bless YouTube as well, because sometimes you even go to class and the professors are saying something that you don't understand, no one's bothered by it, because at the end of the day, everyone will go back to YouTube and just try to, like, do research, watch YouTube videos and all those things. So yeah. And he was like, Oh, yeah, because my main, like I said, my main concern was like, oh no, I've got no science background whatsoever. It's like, nah, don't worry yourself. You think everything you're going to learn is what they teach you in class, that YouTube will be the highest teacher that you have even. And it was like, it's not like back home where, oh, if you didn't do computer and science in maybe O levels or A levels, ah, forget it, you have no business doing it in uni. So he spoke to me and I was just like looking at other IT courses then at that point. And I was like, okay, I applied for it. Like a few universities took me in. Then on the open day, I remember Birmingham University, I went there and then we had a talk. I had a talk with one of the lecturers and I was like, I'm a bit concerned about like how they feel like I will be able to cope. Do they feel like it will be challenging for me? Because I explained my background and everything. And they were like, it's okay, I could continue, but like from experience, they will advise me to start on with like a foundation year first, before just diving in, because what the course I wanted to do as well was like really tough. And they were like, I could do it, but I may find it difficult and I may be like back a little bit as compared to my other classmates. And again, and they were like, if we think of the money that you pay for fees, it wouldn't be fair. So they then transferred me to another university that's doing that, did the foundation year. And I started and I was like, oh my God, all this thing is just so easy. They make these things back home, they make it seem like, oh my God, it's so difficult. So I was like, this is so easy. As long as you put your mind to it, like you can crack on with all those things. Because at home, back home, there'll be like things like programming and stuff, as if it's like, I'm like, these things are so easy. So anyways, it went on through and yeah, I finished it. Then I then did another certification program for the job I've got now for software testing and wrote the exams for it and started looking for a job. That was another one as well now. So because these people are so keen on experience and there's this whole reference culture here.
Exactly.
These people are, oh God, this reference thing. See, I was like, with other jobs, you see, before I even started doing, like, before I even started looking for the job that I wanted, I'd worked in, like, other sectors. I've worked in healthcare, in mental health as well. So, and even, like, commission sales, all those things, you kind of, like, cook up a reference and stuff, like, even get your friend's number or something, or if you know a nurse around, you could just, like, speak to them. They will help you with a stamped reference from their work email. But now I'm, like, I'm getting into the IT field. Who can I use? So I had a few people that were ready to give me a reference, but I had an incident where there was one job I went to, and they were just so tricky, went down. I think they were trying to contact the referees that I provided. One person wasn't responding. They just went down and called one company that was listed in my CV. They called them directly. It was like a whole madness. Anyways, but that's just, again, about the whole struggles and like trying to look for a job. So like me trying to find out the ideal job, because I was kind of selective as well. I wasn't just concerned about the pay whatsoever. To me, it's like the vibe, the energy as well in the like the work environment. Because you know, some places you go there for the interview and you just look around, it just doesn't feel right. Because then you're thinking, I was just thinking, like, even if I get a job here, like, how would my day-to-day work experience be like here? I just want somewhere where like I could go in, do my job, like peace of mind, come back home, I know I'm just resting, not something where I'll go in all that kind of like negative work incidents,
yeah, toxic
and I'm bringing
culture.
All that.
Yeah,
exactly. So I was just like really, really vigilant on that. So like there were a few that I turned down. There were a few that they would just be like, oh yeah, they will take you in. You guys have already discussed your whole salary. Like at the point of you that just signing the contract, they call you like, oh, well, we're sorry. Someone came in and this person like seemed to have more experience and stuff. And you're like, God, I need to start working all around again for all these interviews and stuff. But at the end of the day, it wasn't that bad because like with every interview that I went to, like I had something to come back with. So like sometimes I'll even record myself while I'm in the interview. So when I come back, I just listen to myself. And when they give me their results, I'll like, okay, yeah, I know there's this thing I didn't do right this that when I went there, or there's that thing. So I know like how to improve myself as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I had so many chances to like really perfect myself on how I present myself or how I sell myself as well to interviews and stuff from like the records, and also with like the job market for this particular field is kind of like really demanding, and you've got so many job opportunities for it as well. So like for interviews, you will never fall short of interviews. You will have like people trying to book you in for interviews every day, like at least 5 people a day trying to book you in. So like that busyness and then having all these other options, wearing them and stuff. Yeah. And at the end, I just started working with a company that I really liked. And like from the first time I spoke to them, it really went so smooth and okay. So that's for work. Don't mind. Sometimes I can be a bit long-winded.
No, it's okay.
We like the details.
If I go ahead and ask you questions and you give me a yes or no answer, I'm going to spice it. More,
yeah, so. It's better than yes, no, like a robot.
Then I was saying, you know, on the part of the lifestyle, I'll join the lifestyle and friends together because I feel like they do kind of go together. So like back home, like I've got like groups of friends, like, and it's easy for you to make friends as well back home, in my opinion anyways. But then when you come here, you can't really tell if people are being themselves. And that's one thing for me. I like when someone is being like real, genuine and all that. Yeah. So because I just want us to be like open. I just want us to like have positive encounters with each other, just be open with each other, see how we could help each other. But then the shocking thing I realized when I came here is a lot of people in our community, like especially like Cameroonian community, they don't know how to share with each other. It's like when you come here, when they see you, they see it as like someone for them to like compete with or try to like flaunt things to. So you see like most of them, like most of the gardeners that what I noticed, instead of them going kind of like, oh yeah, you've been here, like, oh, this, what do you need help with? If it's work, like, oh, I've got these contacts and stuff. This, you know, all those things to like help guide someone as well. Because when that comes here, you've had that period where you're just trying to like find your way around. And if you've got a normal person, you want to feel a bit relieved, like, oh yeah, I came across, they'll be like, they'll want stops to like maybe buy drink. The moment that they notice that you've started doing things for yourself, they just distance themselves away from you. And it was just really, really sad. It was just really, really sad to watch. And it was just, there's one person that we never knew each other that well back in Cameroon, but then we kind of like linked with each other through social media. And lucky enough, we were in the same town. Oh, we just matched with each other. We would be like discussing things. I think since I came here, that's the like only person that I really didn't know that I came here, and I would say, yes, that's my friend here. Because we both just, our energies were just the same. And the same things I was talking about, like what I'd observed, is the same thing she too was just saying. And she was just similar, like really, really similar stuff. So aside from lifestyle, when it connects to our community, like all the whole British people here, yeah, it's so different. I'll say, like, for anybody coming here, if you're not someone who observes or tries to know your audience before you speak, please practice it. Because there's like a few things that you won't necessarily mean any harm, but you say or act and it seems offensive. So I'll say just observe more, because these people are different. And another thing as well, with them, you know, back home we're kind of like really open, like people just say what they have in their head. But the people here, they're like more performative and fake. So you know, the like constant smile when they just see you on the way, they see you like, hey, are you all right? Like, you know, they'll try to do all this politeness and stuff, just match that same energy, because just know they don't really mean it and they are not really that polite, but it's just their way here. So yeah, that's another thing I had to get used to, and I didn't find any issues with it. I just blended in much easily with it as well. And what else?
It was, relationship.
Relationship.
Oh God, that doesn't sound good.
No, yeah, okay, you know what? It's not bad, but I would just say I haven't had issues with relationships since coming here, because I had just like shut my mind off that. I was like, I just need to, like, I'm just focusing on myself, like just wanting to get myself in that position where I won't feel like I'll need someone to complete me or need someone to like be completely happy. So I was just like, I'm just focusing on myself, wanting to be happy, wanting to like do the things, like achieve my goals that I've set for myself, like just get set a foundation for myself and stuff and see how I go. Like if I meet someone along the way that we love each other, we're each other's people, whatever, yes, then I do. If I don't, I want to be in a position where I won't care about it. So, but yeah, I've still seen a few disasters, because you know, when I just came here, because especially when I just came here, you know, when you're getting in uni, the whole thing they used to say to us year ones at the time, fresh air and stuff like that, the whole chase that the older people, the people that had been in those cities or those unis, like maybe year twos, year threes, or even graduates there, where they just feel like, oh, these are fresh people that they have just come now. Oh, they can't really think clear. Like it's easy for us to just fool them around and stuff. Yeah, that seems to be a thing here as well in the UK. Like when a girl just comes fresh and stuff, you see like guys are like, oh yeah, this is fresh made. Like this person doesn't know their way around. So they will just kind of like do things away, like just, you know, like just wrap them around a finger and stuff like that. So I know when I came here, yeah, I know there were like a few guys that kind of like approached me, but I could already tell, and like they'll later on find out that I already get the memo, I already know what they want, and they just disappear. Some would still like want to lie, you see. It's like, it was just shameful to see how you have some of the guys here that could be like married and stuff even, but they will lie about it. And yeah, even be like so disrespectful towards their wives because they are trying to prove a point, like they don't have anyone in their life. There are a few that I saw, and I just like really cut them off, and I didn't say anything or like name drop or anything, but it was just really disappointing, because I just think, especially us being adults as well, we should know what we want in life. And that's definitely not the way to go about things. But yeah, anyways, that's it. But I'll just say, for me, relationships here, I feel like, especially for us girls, it's better if you just do the approach on like focusing on yourself. I just know guys will always come around. That's just my philosophy. Guys will always come around, especially when you got things sorted for you. Like, don't worry yourself, like trying to worry about getting a guy, getting a relationship. If you don't have one already, don't make that a focus at any point. Just focus on yourself. There are people who think differently, who've got different opinions to mine, like really opposite as well. There are people who think if you come here, especially those of us who come in like really young, like 20s and stuff, like when you come here, it's better for you to just find a guy and then you go along, because it gets harder for you to find a guy when the older you get. So yeah, it depends on you, really. But to me, my approach has worked for me, and I haven't had any disastrous relationships. So,
okay, so like you had apparently a good experience about like work hunting and stuff like that. Do you have a funny experience, like funny at the same time, serious, and at the same time, knowledgeable, that you can give us as far as your first experience as looking for a job?
Oh God, Yeah, you guys really hit the jackpot because I'm really a chatty box with this. So let me go. I've got like funny, humiliating, and learning. It could all be one, and it could still be like for different occasions. So let me think of like, there was one that I didn't have any experience, obviously, but then since they were keen about having experience, so I had gone, I think that's when I wanted to start working in the hospital as a healthcare assistant. So they got me a first shift. Like I did all sorts of training on how to check vital signs, how to like connect the ECG on patients, you know, all those things. I did all the trainings and everything. So I got now today, the first shift they gave me was in a very medical ward. And then I think they used to use from the A&E because it was an emergency ward as well. So some...
Uh-oh, Apple ended the connection but her again. Sorry.
Hey guys, so thanks again for still being with us. We're still on immigration talk. Thanks Sandra for all your details, we really appreciate that. So I want to know, like, for this second part, like, you know, people always talk about, you guys are going, you need to come back and develop your country, because people like Vladimir Putin, he's saying that Africa is a cemetery, like, you know, all those things. He's despising Africa because of us leaving Africa. So yeah, we got to discuss a little bit on that. And I wanted to know, like, if you were given a chance to stay in Cameroon, like with a job opportunity or an investment opportunity, like, will you go back to settle there? Or because we never know, you might get married to a royals. We never know.
So you really like to say the word royal. Like,
I just like it. It's because of the Bridget. How do we call that series? The Bridgerton? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Bridgerton.
Yeah, it's because of that series. Since I've watched that series, I'm always saying the royals. I just like that. So, yeah. And why answering? You have to consider the fact that you marry someone who is from the UK. So, do you see yourself going back to settle forever, like very soon or in...
Wait, Daniel. No. You haven't realized what just happened. When you say, oh, she might marry a white or a UK guy, she said, oh, so that means she's not even thinking about it.
We never know. We never know because she already has the accent. She already has the accent. So the guy will say, she's now part of
what,
us.
Cynthia? You know what, Cynthia? The reason why I meant, because it's something I've just always thought about, like the whole cultural difference, you know. Like, I feel like I could date, but then, like, marrying, I don't know. Yeah, I just it's not like it won't happen, but I feel like it's going to be a little bit challenging, you know. Like,
it's
merging the cultures together. Yeah.
Like, what if you date him and you start loving him? What will you do?
That's that. Like, I have nothing against, but I just feel like it's something that is going to be a little bit challenging. Like, amongst all other things that we know, the challenges our relationships have. Yeah. So it's just like, it's going to be a little bit extra dash to it.
Okay. So, like, do you ever think about going back to Cameroon forever? And, like, let's say, not just when you're older, and to really give back to Cameroon what you've learned outside?
Yeah, for me, definitely. Definitely. I've always thought of that. I've always thought of, like, going back home, like, moving back home. So if it's in a case where maybe later on I've got kids and stuff, and there's still better schools back home as well. So I won't even say, like, the whole educational stuff as well. I don't think that's still, like, an excuse anymore. So... especially by the time I start having kids. So, yeah.
So yeah, I really don't. Yeah, so for me, it's definitely something that's in my, like, it's one of my plans, like going back home, like certainly the doing, like creating, like having other investments, creating job opportunities for all this back home as well. And you know, even like I'm like really keen as well with all these vocational trainings as well, because I feel like that's something that hasn't really, like, emphasis hasn't really been put on that back home. I think a lot of people still don't realize how important these vocational trainings are. And you see, like, because I've noticed in, like, in the UK, for instance, there are so many people that are doing all, they are doing jobs that are getting well paid. And trust me, those people don't have a degree. I'm not saying people shouldn't, but it's just the importance of just understanding the society that we have right now and the way things are moving forward right now. It's no longer a whole, like, all pen and paper centered kind of like economic improvement, but it's like tools and all that extra knowledge as well. So there are some, there are even people that I work with, and they even, they're like, they're being paid like way more than me, obviously, because of their position. But mind you, those people never studied what they are doing now in the IT field in UK, in uni. They just did like all the certification programs and stuff. And I've noticed that that's really, really growing out here. Like, I've noticed so many Western countries, sometimes even like you go for a job, and especially when it comes to like all these fields that did survive a lot during the pandemic, I would say especially like the tech field, there are so many places that you go to, and you could have like go in with someone that just freshly graduated out of uni, but then you, the other person that got like a certification, like a professional certification and stuff for it, they will take that other person over you that just freshly came out of uni, because they are thinking that person already like has the professional training for it. They won't have to like spend a lot on training that person like they will do you who just freshly came out of uni.
Okay, so but like, have you already thought about the plan? Have you already thought about a plan? Because I think going back to our countries, like saying that we'll look for a job again is really a waste of time. Like, have you thought about a plan? Yeah, you start applying again, like some people do, but I think it's really difficult.
The truth is, like back home as well, the level of nepotism, the way it affects that. So that's something that you also have to consider as well. So like for me, it's not even going about like trying to look for those jobs. It's like me trying to create one. So it's still like I've still just got that in plans. I'm still trying to work out my plan, like what and how I'm going to do it. But it's definitely something that I want to do. So that's still on the works for me.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but definitely we don't need people that come from the United States or Canada or UK to look for a job. We need those people in Cameroon to actually make jobs, because we don't have jobs. Like we need more stuff like you IT stuff and other stuff like call centers and everything. We need more of that, because that's how Indian people and Chinese people are making money, because they are like making money Apple and stuff like that. But definitely that's how it works. They have jobs, so we need to make them happen. But definitely, like, people don't really understand it that way. You can go ahead and
I just wanted to say that like I said, it's a waste of time, and we need like a real plan. And I also wanted to mention that we have plans, it's good, but I feel like at a certain time we feel comfortable in in like those countries, like those Western countries. I wanted to ask, are you sure that you will be ready to leave when that comes?
I like you mentioning how like sometimes we get comfortable. I feel like it's not just us being comfortable as well sometimes, but also like the team you have back home, because I realize that it plays a lot into like the contributions that people make in our economy back home. Because I know several people who've tried to like maybe open up businesses that will help people back home, like getting jobs and stuff. Every sort of business, like even like real estate and stuff. But then the people back home that they have to help them to oversee those, like instead use them.
Yeah,
and you see, like once they do like 1-2 tries, and then they've got those nasty experiences. They're like, oh no, forget it then. I don't really care that much. I only go there when I want to like
just go joker and stuff and then come back, you know, all those kind of things. So I know like that. Yeah, so I feel like it's not just us getting comfortable, but it's just like the team will go back home to help us achieve this project or the plans that we've got, we have in mind.
Yeah, I like when you mentioned the team. Exactly. If we are not united, it's not going to work.
I'm sorry, but the thing is also, like you say, being comfortable or the person that... The thing is, I think African people think that when you come, you are just here to use them. You have to make them feel that, oh, no, I'm not using you. We are working together. That's the plan that people forget about it. You are not there to actually make people feel like, oh, I'm just helping you, giving you a job. You are there to be like, I'm making my money too. So you need to work hard because we are making money together. Don't come and say, oh, yeah, you have to do this because I'm coming from there. There I have the money that you need. No, that's not how it was. You don't make me feel bad for you to make money. No, you have to make me feel okay, make me feel comfortable, make me feel part of the journey money thing. Don't make me feel like, oh, you are just using me. For me, that's how I think African think about it.
Oh, no, that's true. And I think, you know what? I feel like, sorry to call you short, Daniel. I feel like this also, it's kind of like, it goes both ways. So because like the situation like you've mentioned now, and then you've got on the other side of the coin, the people, you've got some people back home who just feel like you've just got so much money to blow.
Yes.
And they don't want to do much. And they just feel like, yeah, when they give you all these billings for stuff for you to send, like if you guys are doing a project together, like they could even cut it short and do like a very low budget of it. They'll be like, oh yeah, that person wouldn't mind because the person has got money. And then some of them, worst of all, if you've got like some really funny close people that you include in your project, and they don't bother themselves to do much because they're thinking that it's my person's thing. So I feel like it goes both ways. And that's why the whole team thing is like so important.
Yeah, so important. Like I've had this discussion a thousand of times with people, even who are still there. You know, I think Africans need to heal their minds from inside, first of all, because they think we have so much money that... yeah, at a certain point, you know, they are not really in that team mindset, I feel like it. And that's why they think, no, they just want their own share and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the faster I grab my own share and run away, the better for me. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't really think of the bigger picture.
Yes, exactly. So I'm just praying that if we have like projects, we find like we have that good team, you know. Think and talking about that, you know, when we hear stories about poison and things like that, it's still part of it. Like you want to go back, but people are only jealous. Like you want to help them. They don't even know if you're gonna be a blessing for them to help them find jobs or better and greater opportunities. They are just envious and like jealous, you know. That's why we have issues like bushfires being poisoned.
Why do you use the word herb? You are not helping no one because you are making money on us.
Okay, we should not use the word help.
No, you are not helping anyone.
Okay,
because you are helping yourself too, you know that, right?
All Cameroonians, since in my country,
helping each other.
Yeah, each other.
It's a help thing. So you have to make him understand that, oh, I'm helping you and you are helping me. Because in their mind, like you were saying just 5 minutes ago, oh, they are not seeing the bigger pictures of it. They are not seeing it because you are not showing them the bigger picture.
Showing them,
they don't you want to see it. That's my point.
They don't even want
to see it.
They want to see it. You have people that want to see the bigger picture of it. You have people they want to. That it depends. They don't want to see it if you are making me feel like, oh, I want you to do this for me. I want you to know. I want us to do it.
No, and Cynthia, you're speaking the truth because I remember even like some when we're in Cameroon, sometimes you have like all these people be like bush followers and stuff. You see now like they've got their friends who were back in Cameroon. They were being so condescending towards them just because they are from abroad. So I'll say so I'll say like on that on your side of it, I get it. 100%. because some of them will come in, they make it feel like, yes, they are the ones helping you, like they don't benefit anything from it or stuff. It's just, yeah. I think at the end, like us as individuals, we just need to like treat each other better.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone said, Africa needs like union from all Africans, like the diaspora and even those still in those countries. Like it's really a team effort from us and those who are still living in the country. Like if you're not united, it's not gonna work. Never ever, because they will still think we have much money and that we are despising them. Like they're even lending some thought to us, thinking that we are despising them while we are just trying to help everyone, all of us. So I think it's some also people this... just have the negative mindset. They just don't
want to see the picture. And also some people have this whole I'm better than you mentality. I feel like that's one of the biggest things that also contributes to like a downfall. The whole like, for those who were back home who traveled, they're like, oh yeah, I've traveled now. I'm bigger, better than you. Like we're not equals, we're not this. And you've got like some of the ones that were born here and then they see you who just come in. They're like, oh, they're better than you. This, that. So it's just, I think that's another thing as well. The whole better than this mentality and stuff.
Well, I think at this point, we don't really talk about those who were born here because I think they don't really know Africa that much. I don't really know their position towards Africans. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, but I think we don't really talk about them. Like people usually have eyes on those who grew up in Africa and they left. Mm-hmm. They are most often the ones expected to come back and implement and develop Africa in a greater sense. So like, do you think it's our fault, Sandra, that we make Africans envy us to the point that they are poisoning us? Do you think it's our fault?
Me generally, I don't think it is like victims of it. I don't think it's their fault, you see, because like you do have people who just the fact of them just knowing like, oh, this person traveled, because mind you, you know, like a lot of people back home still have this mentality of like, this person don't fall bush. It means that his life don't better. It means that like everything is all leveled up for that person. It means like, yeah, everything's good for them. They are now successful. They are now like big people and stuff. Some people still have that mentality. Like the moment you just get on a plane and leave Cameroon, oh, that's it. It means everything is good for you. So for you have now some of those kind of people, that's why when you come back, there's like this envy, there's this jealousy, even if you don't flaunt, you don't flaunt things around. So it's, yeah, so I think it's just, it depends on those people. I think people just need to like, that's why I said, us as individuals, we just need to like have more positive thoughts, think better of ourselves, treat other people much more better than we do as well. And I think all these things wouldn't be happening because people would poison you. You hear that this person was poisoned for the most ridiculous reasons. Mm-hmm. So, no.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think at this point you can rely on your team, like people you still have back home, or partners, like at this point of your life, do you think you have a good team you can count in there? Or you think you still need to get more trustable partners?
No, I'll say like, I've got really, really good friends back home still, like that are so reliable. Like aside from friends, I've got a few family people as well, a few acquaintances that are like reliable. So yeah.
Okay.
If
well,
like, yeah,
that's cool.
Just hoping that any additions that we get are also good. That's just the thing.
Yeah, well, we wish you, and we also wish us good luck in that sense. Like me personally, I think I still need people more trustable in terms of business. Like in the country. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we'll wrap up with the last question. I was just thinking, like, in terms of success, as an immigrant, how do you define success at this point of your life? And do you still think that Africa has a chance with all her kids outside to emerge and to develop?
First of all, say like the chance of it. Yeah, I do believe in that because, like I said, I've noticed recently, like especially here in the UK as well, you've got like so many immigrants or first generation immigrants as well. You see like some of these Ghanaians, a lot of them, they are going back, building back home, creating businesses back home. You see, anyways, it's always been a thing for Nigerians. And I'm seeing that with Cameroonians as well. So all of that is highly positive. So it makes me really hopeful that at some point, our country, it won't be the way it is right now. And I'm saying it like in a better way, not for the worst. So yeah. Then also for me, success as an immigrant, I'll just say maybe when you get to like a level of support that you are happy with. So I'll say it's kind of like subjective because maybe success for me wouldn't be the same as you. Because for me, I'll say like
sure. I want to hear what you think.
Okay, so for me, I'll say like for me in this case, success for me would be like maybe having a house here first. So when I start having kids, like they've got something here, and also having same as well back home, and like doing bigger things for my mom.
Okay.
Until I do that, there are a few things that I would do, and you're like, oh yeah, you've already done this and stuff, but I still don't feel like I've succeeded because I'm really not where I would want to be. So for me, that's just it. Like, one, for me to like own property, and for me to like really, really financially comfortable where, I'm not like checking my accounts with like some certain expenditures and stuff. I do things that I really, let me not get into it, but yeah.
I get you. People usually say that you have to reach the point that you forget about your salary day or your check day or something like that. Yeah, it's sure that finances are important, especially for for immigrants when we come here. Yeah, but like for me, for example, I'll say like one of the points I always say that success, defining success is really broad. It's really really broad. I'll just say that being able, like I said, to provide jobs to my the nationals, like my brothers, if I can, my African brothers, my Cameroonian brothers, to be able to expand businesses and help them. I don't know if I should even use help again. I don't know.
I would say, okay, let's put it this way, like to like be able to make a good impact in other people's lives. Does that sound better?
Yes, in a greater sense. Yes. Yeah. That's really for me the first step of success. Yeah, because you might have money and you just do nothing with that. It's sure it starts with money. Yeah, because you can't help others if you are not you yourself financially comfortable. So that would be it. And I hope one day we can join our forces to implement on those projects, like in Cameroon. We're talking about Cameroon because we come from Cameroon, most of us here. And even in a wider sense with other Africans, like I myself, I'm very, very much open, just praying that we get the finances to do all of that. And we hope Africa will get better.
Then I already say don't use the word help.
Oh my god. She corrected me. She said impact
other people's lives or make other people become the best of them.
Yes, she said it right.
Yes. Oh my god, thank you again for your experience, and I really think that God will help you if you have good intention. God will help you actually do what you have to do. But when you go to someone and be like, oh yeah, I have this project, make them part of the project, but don't be like, oh yeah, I want your money or I want your help. No. Because when you say to someone, I want your help. Oh yes, he will help you. He will help you really, really good in the way he's gonna take your money. And because like I said to my mom, a technician in Cameroon, Yeah. When you call him, oh, I have my fridge, it's not working. He's gonna be like, okay, it's fine, I got you. He came in today, he said, okay, if I repair this fridge one time, she's not gonna call me again. I have to repair it for 2 weeks. So next week she's gonna call me again. So that's how we work with it.
That's true.
That's the mentality.
Oh my god. That's why we need change. That's why we need change. So guys, that will be the end of this wonderful series on immigration. It was really a pleasure to talk to you, Sandra. Thanks a lot. After all the effort, finally we did it. Thanks a lot. And
finally,
yeah, over to you.
Actually, really thank you again, Sandra. And this is the first time I actually like see someone that's actually enthusiastic and going back. Yes, you have heard bad experience. Yes, you have heard like those bad things going on in Africa, but you still want to go there. So I'm really happy about it, and I'm really gonna make sure that when you're gonna come back, I'm going to make sure everything goes well for you.
Okay.
Thank you again. Thank you again for your patience, for your understanding, for all the explanation. Your experience will help other people, and I hope you inspire other people. Also, trying to go back to Africa like Danielle. Danielle, you see, not everyone wants to stay. Like, not everyone is comfortable.
Who said that? Oh my goodness.
No, I'm just messing up with you. But you know that you are comfortable already, right?
I know that you are comfortable already.
Okay, you know, it's okay. Yeah, but then again, thank you for everything, and I really appreciate your time and your patience. So people, don't forget to follow us on all our social media. And also, if Sandra, do you have any social media that you want to share with us, or it's okay?
It's okay.
Okay, she's not yet ready for the project, so
okay. So don't forget to add also our favorite podcast in Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are all available, all those platforms. Thank you again, Daniel, to host this podcast with me. I love you all. Thank you. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.